people today, but I am so reliant upon the Holy Spirit to speak to your people, to encourage them, to edify them, to enrich their lives. Let them see themselves the way you do, more than conquerors, champions for Jesus. So right now, take the words that I speak. Let them become rhema, living and vibrant and active in the members of the body of Christ. I pray you speak to the heart right now. Let it be an acute sense of hearing to your voice. And Father, we'll give you praise, we'll give you glory, and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, when Tammy prayed for that young lady there, I got mad. I got mad because that's a violation of God's word, that that young child was taken from her like that. I hope all y'all got mad too. There's a price to pay for that now. I got Satan on notice now. For what he took from you, he gonna pay back. He gonna pay back for what he did. And I want you guys to continue to surround her with prayer, because she's going to need it in the days and the weeks and the months to come. Amen? I got your back, sister. I got your back. God, we had a great time yesterday in the Lord. I mean, I like this ministry. I love this ministry because they're concerned with the lost. You shouldn't have a ministry not concerned with the lost. You might just stay at home. But we went out yesterday and had a great time in the Lord. My cohort, Brother Tracy, was with me. I don't know Vallejo that well, but he gave me a guided tour. And he said, got on this alley, got on the street right here, and we had a great time and sharing and just letting them know that we're praying for them. People are hurting out there. They're hurting, and they need Jesus. We got the answer. And Pastor Derry been preaching about the message's goal. And when we stand before Jesus, I wonder what we're going to say to him when we already got a commission to go. And we stayed. Well, how can you answer somebody when they tell you what to do? He said, go. You know, I know that every year I plan for a vacation. Anybody plan for vacation every year? Everybody plan for vacation? Yeah. Amen? And you got these different places in your mind you want to go to, right? Yeah, you got Hawaii in your mind, Aruba. Can you see Bora Bora on the map somewhere? And you imagine yourself walking on them soft, sandy beaches, amen? Then you get in that warm water because you want to relax a little bit, amen? But then that Sistina comes up called the cost. It's going to cost you something to get there. So you can get your internet and go there and you start searching for things, figuring out, okay, am I going to do an all-inclusive trip? Or am I going to do this part of it, you know, airfare? I pay for my own food when I get there in a hotel. And then the next question is, what class am I going to fly in? Should it be economy? You know, can you imagine riding 15 hours like this? Just flying 15 hours like that's economy. He said, no, I think I'll go next route. But if you got enough savings, you're going to go first class. Anybody been first class? Ain't nothing like first class. Ain't nothing like first class. But to fly first class, you pay the extra cost in there for first class. I know most of y'all saying, well, that plane, the back got to get there the same time the front get there, right? I know you're thinking that. Nah, but when they close them curtains, something happens in first class. Oh, yeah, something happens in first class. Something does happen in first class. I want you to turn to Luke, though, chapter 14. Because I don't care how much you plan for that vacation, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you some time at work, put in some extra long hours, because at some point, you got to pay for that trip. Luke 14, verse 28, when you get there, say amen. He said, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and count the cost? There is a cost to be paid in the kingdom as well too? Have you sat down and really thought about the cost you have to pay? Not only that cost, did you ever think about the cost that he paid for you? I know we would think that he was God, but he was God in the flesh. So it still cost him pain and suffering that we should have experienced. Now, my wonderful wife, boy, she got a way of packing when we go on trips. And I can't figure it out. For a week's trip, you need more than one outfit. I'm just kind of analytical. I just say, okay, on Monday, I'm going to wear this. On Tuesday, I'm going to wear this. And on Wednesday, I'm going to wear this. But she want to bring her whole wardrobe for a one-week trip. But you got to keep in mind this. When you guys fly, there's something called aerodynamics to that aircraft. You can't just bring everything with you. They're going to let you know that when you check in. And if you pack too much, they're going to have you open it up and take some stuff out of there. You can pay extra if you want to, but guess what? Do you really need it? In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, let us lay aside every weight that so easily besets us. What are you carrying around that you shouldn't be carrying? Is it the weight of doubt? The weight of fear? This is the big one in the church. The weight of intimidation. I can't do this for you, Lord. I can't go for you, Lord. I'm too shy. But you know what's amazing to me is this. When it's time for promotion on our job, we'll find the tenacity. We'll find a way to do it. We'll take an extra class. But when Jesus says go, we stay. We stay. And God says go. That weight you're carrying, there are four forces that keep that aircraft in the air. There's thrust. There's lift, there's drag, and there's weight. If the plane has too much weight, you're not going anywhere. But God is always trying to thrust us forward to do what? To lift us higher. But if we got weight, the plane will not fly aerodynamically. It's not designed for that. So when God's trying to lift us up, you got to cast that weight off. Everything that's holding you down from being all that God has ordained you to be, you got to call it off of you. Don't let Satan intimidate you. I've read the back of the book, and he lost. You know, when the Warriors went for their championship series, I missed maybe one game, but I don't care what it looked like. I don't care what I heard. I already knew the final outcome. I already knew they already won. I don't care if it went to triple overtime, they won. Same thing with you. You've already won. I don't care what you're going through in life, how challenging it may be, you are victorious. Don't let Satan lie to you. Do not believe your lying eyes. Now, I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to bring my wife. I'm going to deal with her real quick. She's been going to the doctors. And I want her to, because their job is to outline some facts. Amen? Well, facts are facts, but there's something that can override a fact called God's truth. And the truth says that by his stripes, he's healed. I don't care what facts are outlined before you, just allow God's truth to override those facts. But it's our job to speak and declare God's truth over those facts. So now she goes to the doctor, they say, we don't know what's wrong. We don't know what's wrong. Why? Because we have assigned God's truth to those facts. And I want you to begin to assign God's truth to your own personal life when it says time to go. When it's time to go, it's time to go. And God will not give you an assignment that you're not capable of doing. Whatever God said you can do, you can do. You can do. Go to Matthew, please. Chapter 28, and we're going to just stick with the theme for this month, which is go. We're going to go. We're going to do all that God has told this body of believers to do and fulfill divine assignment. You know, when I ask the question to people, what are you here for? If you had to take up space, you might as well go home. You might, seriously, right? You might as well go be with Jesus. But he left us here for a reason. Because there's a lost world out there who have not heard about Jesus. And it's our job to go. Verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to do what? Observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am where? I am with you always. So if we're going out into our community, he's with us. He is accompanying us on our journey. There's no need to walk in fear. You know, I'm amazed by people who are afraid to fly. I'm amazed by that. My daughter, she say, her friends were going to L.A. one day, and I told her how long it's going to take to drive there. He said, no, Dad, I'm flying. An hour flight versus 6 hours drive, I'm flying. Give me the ticket. I'm gone. But is it really you're afraid of flying or you're afraid of dying? What is it? Because, see, you don't have no control there. You up there, and that pilot with that door closed, you don't know what he looked like. You haven't seen him. But let me give you a demonstration of really how that looks for our body of believers. There is a pilot called Jesus Christ who's in complete control of our lives. And then God ordained a pastor here to be our co-pilot. And that co-pilot, we got to get direction from that co-pilot as well, too. And behind the cockpit is first class, where everybody want to sit. Amen? But guess what? It costs a price to sit in first class. And everybody ain't willing to pay the price to sit in first class. But there's a price to be paid to sit in first class. And then they take off. You don't have any idea if Pastor Darius is getting instructions from Jesus, but I guarantee you he is. Why? Because he said, I have given you the vision. He wrote the vision out and he gave it to you and made it plain. Did you read the vision? Did you read it good? So all your job is down to what? Sit down and buckle up, because here we go. Now, you have a choice in the matter, though. You get on that plane and don't have your seatbelt on, but I'm going to tell you something going to hit you. And it's called turbulence. It's coming. I guarantee you, turbulence is coming. It is on its way. But your job is to buckle up and go for the ride. And don't get comfortable in that one seat, though, because God got promotion, but if you got to pay that price to get promotion. Don't you want to get promoted? I'm telling you, first class is some good stuff in first class, baby. I went to Dubai 1 year, and they upgraded me. Woo! I tell you what, I had me a seat that just climbed all the way back. I'm like, look at God. I could ride like this all day long. There is a way to get there. And God has given us instructions on how to get there. So our job is, no matter when the turbulence come, just keep your seatbelt on. What is turbulence? It's sudden, violent movement. A state of confusion, violence, or disorder. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. And I'm going there for a reason, because it kind of states the same thing in Mark that it said in Matthew. Mark 16, verse 15. When you get there, say amen. Again, he says what? Go. Then he says, where to go? Go ye to all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He told you what to do. He said, go. Then he told you what to say. To every creature, he that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall do what? Follow them that do what? Believe. In my name, they'll do what? See, I can't hear you. That's your turbulence. You're going to have turbulence, and it's right there. It's the devil. He's going to come to do what? He's going to try to come steal, kill, and destroy. He's going to try to bring confusion on your life. But God said, just hold on. Put the seatbelt on. Let's go for this ride. And a good pilot, he always comes on and says, shh, this is Pilot Moten here. Remain calm. I see turbulence ahead. You see that? You like that? Why? Because he's in the cockpit. He sees things you don't see. Y'all missed that one. Y'all missed that one. He sees things you don't see. Because God has given him an assignment, therefore he had to spend time with God to see things you don't see. But his job is to get on that microphone, let you know, turbulence is ahead. And give you a prescribed plan to how to handle the turbulence. You ever see anybody in the airplane take off their seatbelt, want to get out in 35,000 feet? Where you going to go? What? You can't jump. No, you got to just keep that seatbelt on, hang on. Because why? The pilot knows what he's doing. He's been trained to maneuver through the turbulence. I don't care how much it rocks and rolls, he's going to get you to your destination. Jesus said what? I've come to complete the work that I've begun in you. Now he's going to perfect the work. So just hang on, saints. Hang on. When he come on, now this is what Jesus said when he come on the microphone. Keep in mind, our pastor is our co-pilot, right? So that means Jesus got to be the pilot. In John 16:33, go there with me real quickly. We're going to see what Jesus said when he get on the microphone. John 16, verse 33. And you got to say amen. He gets on the microphone and he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. So you got to be confident that Jesus is navigating that plane safely to his destination. And then you get peace. He said, in the world, you shall have what? Turbulence, tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said, I'll overcome the world. If you hold on to Jesus, he's going to get you to your destination. But guess what? There are certain types of aircraft. Why? Because God says that he wants his kingdom to be expanded. It's not God's will for any man to perish, but at all come to repentance. That's God's perfect will. So right now, I want you comfortable in your seat because pretty soon, it may not be room for you on this plane. Oh, yeah, this is only a 737 right here. There's an Airbus that holds about 600. Amen? And that's where God's going with this body of believers. But we got to stay unified. You got to stay on one accord. I can just see the pilot and co-pilot arguing in the cockpit. That's a problem right there. But our job is to keep the pilot and co-pilot covered in prayer. Amen. Your job is to stay on your knees and continue to pray for that co-pilot. He can continue to see the vision that God had given him before the world began. He gave a vision even before he was here. He said, what are you talking about? How can you get a vision before you're here? Go to Jeremiah. I'm going to tell you how you get it. Jeremiah chapter 1. Very interesting passage of scripture. Jeremiah. Poor fella. Jeremiah went through it, saints. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1 says, you there? Say amen. And the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathah in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. God came to Jeremiah three times to give him instructions on one assignment. Three times he came. Then the word of the Lord came and said, before I formed thee in your belly, I knew you. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, back up. Before I formed you, I knew you? Why is that possible? Because everything happens first in the spirit realm. Then it happens in the physical realm. It happens first in the spirit realm. Then it happens in the physical realm. So that's how Derry had already gotten an assignment before he was here. Isaiah says, I have declared the end from the beginning. Then he put Derry in time and space to walk out what God told him to do. Not only that, he put you here to follow our co-pilot. Then he says, before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. What does that mean? I set you apart for my use and for my glory. And I've ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. See, it's not just about Valley Joe. Is that correct? Valley Joe? Okay. It's about national affairs because God, I said before, God has a global outreach program for all humanity. He said, well, go ye into all the world. Now, we got to start here in Valley Joe, but he wants to go beyond Valley Joe to hit the entire world with what? His good news. And it is good news. Is it good news, saints? Well, I wonder if it's that good, why are we holding to ourselves? Women, they got a peculiar way of talking about sales. They'll call it, girl, them shoes on sale right now, and they take off and they go to that sale. But why can't we be the same way with the good news of Jesus Christ? We should be just doing the exact, we should replicate that because they don't even get endorsed or no payment for endorsing those products, but Jesus Christ gives us an endorsement. And he gives us a payment for endorsing his name. All we got to do is go. Go without any fear. Fear has torment. It says perfect love cast out fear, though. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a love and a power and a sound mind. That came from God. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. This got to be the funniest statement I've read in a long time. Because it's kind of funny how we as humans do when it's time to serve God, we're full of excuses. I can't do this, Lord. Jesus had something for this man. One of the disciples said, Lord, let me bury my father first. He said, go ahead then. See, we always make excuses for what we don't want to do. But things we want to do, oh my goodness. I'm a golf junkie. You call me in an hour notice, I'll be there to play golf. I don't care how far it is, I will go play golf there. And God had me examine my life with that as well, too. People call me up and say, Edward, we're going to play golf tomorrow. I'll be up all night, shining my clubs up, getting them ready for the next day event. But God said, are you doing the same thing with my word, getting ready to go out and touch humanity with that word? Oh, man, I felt this big. Because we begin to prioritize things that's good to us, but not to expand the kingdom of God. We got to really examine ourselves. We examine ourselves when we took communion. Amen. But really examine yourselves in light of what God has told you to do, which is go out. Now, I'm not saying go to Haiti. I'm not saying go to Africa. I'm just saying go. And all we did yesterday, we just went around our community, our neighborhood. We just went. We went. And that's all God's asking you to do is go. A willing body to go. God will bless that. He said, if you would obey and serve me, you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. But obedient heart, that's what God is looking for. Obedient heart. So after the excuse, he says, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. See, it's the Holy Spirit. God didn't leave us here empty-handed. He gave us someone to aid us, to assist us in our mission, which is the Great Commission. And he said right here, be not afraid of their faces. Now, I don't like to use my wife on this, but I have to one more time. I'm sorry. We're in church in Oakland. For me, witnessing is just like breathing. It's because God, I believe people need to be saved. But I had to learn a way of doing it. So one day, we were going out to the park to witness. Me and some church members. And my wife was going too. But of course, she didn't get a chance to witness in the past. And this thing called fear hit her like a cold, cold sweat. And when it hit her, she broke out. And I'm like, Lord, what happened to my wife? My beautiful wife, her face is changing. It hives hit her all over. You know why? We got to understand something. God has already equipped her, already equipped you to do everything in life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Satan brings fear in our lives to keep us in captivity. You're in bondage when you're in fear, believe it or not. Then the Lord put his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set this day thee over the what nations and over the kingdoms. This is one man God talking to, Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, I've set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. To do what? He said, I set you over there to do what? I set you over there to root out. Root out what? Root out evil. Root out those things that's hindering humanity from hearing my word. You ever got a root canal before? Oh, boy, that root canal ain't no joke, ain't it? They go in there to get that pulp out so it won't swell up and become inflamed. If we don't go out and root out wickedness in this country, it's going to inflame. And we're going to complain about it instead of doing our job, go out and root it out. Then he said, I also said for you to pull down. Now, there's a dual means that pull down. First of all, I think we need to pull down every stronghold in our own mind. Every thought, every imagination that opposes what God has told us to do. We should pull it down. And then when we pull our strongholds down, we'll be able to more go out there and pull strongholds down in our community and those things that's hindering this nation from being what God ordained it to be. Then he said, and to destroy and throw down. So God has put things in order for us to do that we have to do. But the last two things he said do are very interesting that I don't see done quite often. He says, I want you to go build and to plant. He said, go build and go plant. See, after we annihilate and destroy the works of darkness, God said, I want you now to build my kingdom up. And plant my word in the hearts of the people so they can walk in victory, not defeat. That's our job. God's not going to do it for us. You know what Jesus is doing right now? He's seated. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he ain't getting up until he get ready to get up. But he said, I have given you, us, the power and authority to go out. And he said, in my stead, instead of me doing it, I want you to do it now. I want you to go lay hands on the sick. I want you to raise the dead. I want you to do it. Will you go? Will you go? Or will you stay? You see, if we stay here, we'll be like every other church. Just praising amongst ourselves, and the world go to hell. You know, hell was not even made for humanity. People go there because they reject the plan of salvation. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But how are they going to know that if we don't go? If we just sit here comfortably and not do what God told us to do. Now, when he told the church, he said, before you go, I want you to wait somewhere first. I'm going to give you some power. I'm going to give you some luggage you can carry with you, which is the Holy Ghost. He's what you really need in life is the Holy Spirit. He says, when you go, I want you to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So my question to you is that, have you been to Jerusalem yet? Well, let me define Jerusalem to you. I have relatives in my family who don't know Jesus. My Jerusalem. That's my Jerusalem. Where's your Jerusalem at? Then he said, I want you to go to Judea. Anybody got a job? If you don't got one, the Bible says you got to have a job to eat. Right? Amen? You got to get a job. Get a job. Well, your Judea, that's your job. How many people in your job know you saved? Ooh, that hurt. That hurt. Huh? Have you ever really shared Jesus Christ with them? Have you shared the compassion, the love of Jesus with your coworkers? He said, from Jerusalem to Judea, go to Samaria. Right? That's your neighborhood. Do your neighbors know you know Jesus? Have you shared Jesus with your neighbors? There's one neighbor I haven't hit yet, and I'm praying about it. I got to get him, though. Well, get them. I got to get them. But God told me to go get them. And he told you the same thing. And then we can go to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what our ministry is about here. It's about taking Jerusalem. Well, let's take Jerusalem, let's say Vallejo. If you can't take Vallejo, you can forget about Samaria and Judea and the other parts. You can forget about those. Let's stick right now with Jerusalem. Let's stick with Jerusalem and see if God won't give us the whole city. The city is easy to do. Go to Jeremiah chapter 12. One thing I've learned in my Christian walk is murmuring and complaining won't get you nothing. It won't. You can't murmur and complain. And I always say, Lord, if I was in the Old Testament, I wouldn't murmur like them. But then God said, yes, you would. Yes, you would. In Jeremiah, he made a bold proclamation because Jeremiah was murmuring and complaining about people prospering in verse 1. And God says, Jeremiah, go to verse 5 real quick. He says, if thou canst not run with footmen and they have worried you, how canst thou contend with the horses? If they wearing you out, if Vallejo wearing you out, how can you really go and take the whole nation? How can you do it? God has equipped each one of us with enough power to take this world. Jesus said himself that the works that I've done, greater works that you can do. Because he's only here for 3.5 years, and I know most of us have been saved longer than 3.5 years. And what have we done since our salvation? Did we go? Are we going? Are we planning to go? God wants you to go, saints. He's not so much worried about the opposition you're going to face, because you're going to have opposition. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. And let's see what old Slewfoot trying to do to the body of Christ. You got to understand, God will not assign you to something that he has not equipped you to do. It will be unfair. And we know God is a just God. He's a just God. He tells us who our opposition is. In verse number 11, it says, chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Now, on this trip we're taking, pack the right equipment. It's the armor of God, saints. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? Stand against the wiles, the tricks, the schemes, the ploys of the devil. This is a key verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's, to me, it's amazing how much the body of Christ is fighting each other. And Satan over here saying, I got them, Lord. I got these rookies. They over there fighting each other. He just sit back and watch us fight each other. You ever see a marriage where the wife's over here and the husband over here? He said, no more twain, but one. The body of Christ are many members, And there's an important part of each member in the body of Christ. I can prove it to you. I can prove it to you. Cut off your toe. Cut off your little toe and see how much you'd be crying for that toe tomorrow morning. Each member is very important in the body of Christ. Each member. So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, saints. But he says right here, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what God say do. I want you to go out and root out, pull down, and destroy those forces. And I have given you the power to do that. You know, I don't think Christians understand how much power and authority you have. Satan knows it, and he really trembles because he knows that Jesus has delegated us to be in his stead, to operate the way he did in the earth realm. But we are not packing the right equipment. We're taking fear with us. We're taking doubt with us. We're taking intimidation with us. Today, I want you to go home and unpack. I want you to go unpack and then repack. You know, take out all that other stuff you don't need, Madeline, and put in the stuff you do need. And when you finish packing, bring it to the counter because we're going to check in. We're going to check in right this time. We're going to weigh it to make sure it does not weigh too much. We're going to check it in, they're going to take it back, and they're going to load it up properly because that plane can fly in balance now. And when our co-pilot comes on and gives our assignment, all he's going to do is say, buckle up, because we're ready to go. Are you ready to go? I want you to be ready to go. Ready to go to our destination that God has ordained for us to go to. But you know what I learned? A plane can't fly all day and night. It has to land and refuel. That's your job. You got to get in the word to refuel. You got to refuel because now the vision is going to another level. And I've learned in flying that if turbulence get too bad, Pastor Mo can take a little higher to fly above the storm. There's a level in our area up here where the storm's down here. But to go higher, you got to go deeper. You got to go deeper in God's words to go higher. And the reason why we landed, because we got more people to pick up. Oh, yeah, we got to pick them up. We got to pick them up, saints. We got to pick them up and get them on board. Strap them in and teach them the word of God. And then guess what? We take off again. But tell them what to pack, though. Our job as leaders is tell them what to pack and what to unpack. Do it a gentle way through love and compassion because they want to be saved. They just don't know it yet. Why they don't know it? Because the Bible says very clear, my last passage, that the God of this world has blinded their eyes to the truth. Tracy said something very interesting yesterday to me. He said that he went to a house just to ask them, do they want to pray for it? And he said, no. I mean, he didn't ask for no money. He said, can I pray for you? And they said, no. Why? Because Satan has blinded their eyes to the glorious truth of the gospel. The gospel message is very easy, saints. Simply this. We have lost humanity over here. We have a holy God over there. It's a big gap right here. Your job is to tell them how to bridge that gap. No man comes to the Father but through the gap, Jesus Christ. Is that easy? And it's not based upon how good you are. Remember when Adam and Eve first sinned? First thing they did was they went and hid themselves, right? Second thing they did was they covered themselves with fig leaves. God wouldn't accept fig leaves. Fig leaf is coming to church. That's a fig leaf. Fig leaf singing in the choir. God will accept that. That's a fig leaf. The only thing God will accept is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The redemptive work of Christ will cover your sins. If you are here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, your fig leaves won't get you there. only the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, when Adam sinned, the first thing God did was he killed the animal. And he covered them with skins. And back then, there were no dry cleaners. Them skins had blood on them still. He put those skins on Adam and Eve to do what? To cover them. But he knew that blood wouldn't satisfy. So he said, you know what? I'm going to send my son to shed his blood. And that blood will satisfy. So if you're here today and you have never met Jesus Christ or never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's your day. Today is your day to come and know him in an intimate way. Or if you're here today and you say, you know what? I've done that. I've made Christ my Savior. I didn't say Lord, I said Savior. And this is a big difference because I buy insurance to save my house just in case. So you may have made him Savior, but is he Lord? See, when he's Lord, when he tell you to go, you go. But if he's Savior only, you're like, ah, Lord, I think I'll get up this morning and go to church. I think I'll go out there and witness. That's Savior. But Lord, my life is yours, Lord. Wherever you tell me to go, I'll go. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. That's Savior and Lord. And that's what he wants from us, to be Savior and Lord. If you're here today and you've made Christ your Savior and Lord and an attack, because we said the enemy will come. He will come. He'll come to try you. He'll come to put stuff on you. But there is a remedy. There's an antidote. The blood of Jesus Christ. He's taken our pain. He said, I bore your grief. Everything you feel physically, any kind of pain, is a violation because Jesus took that at Calvary. And if you want his redemptive work to be activated, we have a team right here to pray for you, to show you in God's word that that's a violation that can't work. When they came out of Egypt, Psalm said there was not a feeble one among them. Before they came out, they had to kill a lamb. That was a Passover lamb. They ate the lamb, and they applied the blood. They ate the lamb, and as like I said, not one person was feeble. They came out whole, healed, and delivered. Then they had to apply the blood. We took the blood of Christ today. We took communion. They had to use a thing called hyssop to apply that blood, though. So when you took communion today, I hope you applied your faith because the blood of Christ has come to give you deliverance, provision, and protection. So I want you to close your eyes right now. And I believe God is going to rearrange our priorities. That is simply to go. He didn't say run, he just said go. He'll give you the tenacity, he'll give you the insight, he'll give you the wisdom on what to do when you go. Father, I thank you for this body. Oh, Lord, how great it is. Because I do believe there's going to be a change and transformation in the city of Vallejo. And I believe that each person will pick up their suitcase and walk with the tools you've given them, God, to bring that change about. So I come against fear. I come against timidity. I come against this lackadaisical attitudes, God, concerning going. And I pray today, Father God, they'll make a change and transformation in their thinking to go. We choose to obey you, Father, in all aspects of our lives. Bless your people, Father. I pray your blessings will consume them. Be so good to them, God, they'll know my God reigns and rules in all aspects of my life. We thank you, Father God, because you're so good to us. And we worship you for your mighty power and your sovereign influence in our lives today. We thank you, and we ask you have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I dismiss, I want those who in fear about witnessing to come forward. And it's nothing to be ashamed of, because at some point in our lives, we all had that, where we were afraid to just share with other people. But I want to pray for you today that that spirit will not override what God has given you, which is His Holy Spirit. So if you really want to go and be what God ordained for you to be, and there's some fear in your life, I want you to come up right now, and I just want to pray with you. I want you to come up, because I believe that God's going to do a unique thing in your life to break fear. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.